Hello and welcome back to the MJA podcast. I'm Kate Swanell. Since the 1st of February 2018, codeine-containing products have been rescheduled as prescription only. It was a controversial decision by the TGA, at least in the eyes of those members of the public who have chronic pain. A group of researchers at Princess Alexandra Hospital's toxicology unit have conducted research which looked at codeine-related presentations in the 12 months before and the 12 months after rescheduling. One of the authors, Dr. Keith Harris, a toxicology fellow at PA Hospital, is my special guest today. When the Therapeutics Goods Administration decided to reschedule all codeine-containing products to prescription only, were you a fan of the idea?
It was difficult to know what exactly the outcome was going to be. It certainly seemed, a reasonable thing based on the evidence that they had, that it seemed a reasonable direction to move things. And certainly we were seeing a fair lot of sort of mixed product ingestions.
Yes.
And some toxicity resulting from them. And I mean, certainly the evidence for benefits of the use of those low dose products of codeine really isn't there. So it certainly seemed like a reasonable thing to do. But again, we didn't know what the outcome was going to be. And part of the reason why we did this, just to see what impact it would have on us.
Were you seeing an increase in the numbers of codeine presentations?
So our database, probably in terms of 4 years, goes back to about 2015. And we were seeing perhaps a gradual increase. So, you know, in 2015, I think we had 133. Then it came up to 160 following year, and then sort of 165. So it was sort of gradually increasing, but not rapidly increasing. But was certainly, we were seeing, 200 patients by the end who were coming in with codeine-related presentations.
So you decided to do a bit of a retrospective study of what had happened at PA 12 months before the change in scheduling and 12 months after. What were your major results?
So what we found is that if you compare those 12 months before to 12 months afterwards, we, despite having increasing presentations overall to our department in toxicology, we saw a significant reduction in the amount of presentations that were related to codeine. So we had a drop of sort of 53% related to our codeine presentations. And when you look at the products that we've seen the change in, obviously the rescheduling only really affected those products that had less than 30 milligrams of codeine in, so those previous over-the-counter products. We saw the amount of those presentations drop by 85%, whilst presentations related to the always prescription strength codeine products stayed essentially stable.
Did you see any substitution for other substances?
Look, we looked together at all the other presentations we see for alternate opiates, all the opiates put together, and know that remains stable as well. When you look specifically at the ones that I thought were probably more likely to get changed in, so probably your oxycodones and your tramadol, they actually went down by about 20% over that time period as well.
I'm chatting today with Dr. Keith Harris from the Princess Alexandra Hospital in Brisbane. His co-authored research can be found at mja.com.au, where it is, like all our research, open access. You can subscribe to our podcast feed at iTunes, or you can listen to them on our website at mja.com.au/podcasts. Back to our chat. You might say that if stuff's been rescheduled to prescription only, that people are obviously taking less of it, but what are they then doing for their chronic pain?
It's difficult to know what the other side of that story is. I mean, certainly there's been some work done looking at before and afterwards by other people as well, and it certainly looks like the amount of codeine being sold has reduced, and certainly some work by the Poison Centre showing that the number of calls have dropped as well. I mean, it'll be interesting to know whether more people have went towards addressing their dependence and getting help for that. But yeah, I mean, one of the major concerns, as you raised, is whether people were getting alternate opiates and whether lots more people would end up on the sort of oxycodone. We can't tell that exactly from our data because we're not looking at prescription data, but certainly from our presentation, it doesn't look like that's what's happened.
Does it inspire you to take the research somewhere further?
It certainly might be interesting to see. Certainly, I mean, this is only going to be the first year we've looked at. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see if this is maintained into the future.
Yeah.
I did have a quick look at our database, knowing that I was speaking to you, just to see what the pattern looks like this year. And this is a quick look, but essentially our numbers have increased slightly again in total presentations. But again, we're looking about sort of the same number of total coding presentations, so around that sort of 75 mark, coming from that previous rate of about 160. So it looks like it has been maintained this year as well.
Okay, so would you say the rescheduling is a good thing?
I mean, certainly it seems like a positive story at the moment in terms of the changes that we've seen. Again, as you raised, I don't know what's happened to these people that were using it perhaps before, what they're doing about their pain and things. I think certainly there's been a general conversation and a kind of change in approach to opiates. And I know certainly in the last couple of years, even in our emergency department, looking at sort of opioid prescription practices and really calls from GPs that not wanting to prescribe opiates in patients perhaps who have dependence and sort of that shift. So maybe we're seeing all of this happening at the same time. There is that connection as well between where is the line drawn between sort of chronic pain and dependence, and there's probably that sort of grey area where there's a lot of people whose chronic pain is actually, when they stop taking the codeine, is actually more so to do with dependence, and where that line is drawn and how we work that out.
Were there any age differences or gender differences?
No, look, it all looked pretty similar. As with most sort of overdoses, there was a slight preponderance towards females. Age wasn't particularly different, and certainly the amount of codeine didn't seem to be significantly different, sort of the medium amount taken between the two groups. We saw a decrease in the use of NAC for treatment of concomitant Panadol toxicity. And I mean, that firstly obviously goes down to the fact that obviously there's much less of those products that contain the small amounts of codeine compared to Panadol.
Yes.
So those are the people that are more likely to get toxic from the Panadol point of view just because of the ratio there. But in terms of things like mortality, there really wasn't a significant difference. It's not something, certainly with the codeine alone that we see.
Thanks, Keith.
thanks again.
My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.